The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show for a Friday with Brian and Peter. Brian in studio and Peter, well, we've put him outdoors.
If you're coming from Malahide Village heading towards Swords Pavilion Shopping Centre, on the left hand side there is a development called Waterside. Pull in the first sign you see it at. Directly opposite, there is a field where I suppose I thought I was coming to see allotments. I'm not. There's a gentleman about 500 yards ahead of me. He's a leather jacket on, he's a woolly hat. His name is Brian, and I'm just about to meet Brian. Brian, how are you?
That's about it. How about you, Peter?
I'm good. I thought I was coming to see allotments. I'm looking at a field that seems to have remained untouched for a couple of years. There's either an amazing dream, or it's a bad auctioneer's sales pitch that I've just received over the telephone. What am I supposed to be or on the verge of looking at, I assume?
It's 15 acres and it hasn't been lying idle. It's been in potatoes up to last year. So it's always been agricultural land. And what you're looking at is where we're going to put 300 allotments. And where you're actually standing will have a clubhouse on it. The allotments are being run by the Epilepsy Care Foundation. And the idea is that we'll let 225 of them out of the public and hold back 75 for people with epilepsy and related disorders, which would, for example, would be autism. Yeah. And they'll be used for life training skills, rehabilitation, community interaction for people like that. They'll be obviously supplied free of charge. And the idea is that we'll get it, they'll all be split around the place. We're not going to put one section where we've got people with intellectual disabilities, so they can blend into a community. We create a community structure in here, like all allotments. And the idea is that the clubhouse would allow people to mix, as well as just mixing across the fence, if you like, on their allotments. And we're using about 3/4 of the field. It'll be laid out properly. There'll be 50 car parking spaces just along here. And your normal drop-off points around the place, water, the toilets will be in the clubhouse. That's a bit, very much in a nutshell.
I'm going to guess one of two things. You're either involved in the care association in some format or other, or you're an extremely enthusiastic garden, or part B, crossed with / part C, you're a visionary. Because if people could see what this field holds now, and sometimes I like people, when I'm making a garden myself, you like people to see it almost like it's Tarzan land, and then they come back the next day and it's got the waterfalls and the features and everything else that's in it, and you go, my God, it's like the television program. Where do you slot in, and how on God's earth did this vision come around? Because I'm kind of scratching my head saying, is it all there? There's obviously a perfectly planned vision in there somewhere behind my sense of humour.
Yeah, when you come back in the third week of February, this will look like a landscape.
So, sorry, and I cut across there. We're now the 20 what of January?
27th. But all of the plans are done. Everything is done. Contractors are waiting to move in. We have one tiny little piece to get out of the way with the environmental people because of the vista of Malahide Estuary over there, which is quite understandable. And we're actually ready to roll. It'll take about 2 weeks. Permeable roads, permeable thing, car parking. You'll have tarmac adam coming in at the gates. You'll have large gates. You'll have 2 metre high fencing across the front for security reasons. It's all ready to rock and roll. Come in here, 2 weeks, done. Proper diggers, everything.
Are you a gardener?
I'll do a little bit, yeah. I do a little bit at home.
If you were to describe your own garden in a nutshell and how much time you would spend in your own garden, what, and be really honest with me now.
Really honest, during the summer, one day a week. You know, between a very small vegetable, I do more herbs and tomatoes and stuff like that. But the flowers, etc., take quite a bit of work. And around here, the lawns take quite a bit of work, as you can imagine.
To put your passion for gardening into perspective, if there was a rugby match on or you were being told a hedge needs to be pruned, which would you go for?
No argument, the rugby. To be quite honest. But, yeah, but to get back to the original point about it, the Epilepsy Care Foundation, yeah, it is something I'm very passionate about. I have epilepsy myself. And it started back in 2006, 2007, where myself and my own neurologist, Norman Delante, and a number of other people, other neurologists and business people, got together and wanted to improve the level of clinical care. I mean, Brainwave is an epilepsy charity. It's a patient support charity, does a great job. But we are about improving the level of clinical care. And I'm 55. I've been self-employed since 1990. I was 11 years off the road because I couldn't get into hospital to get the mix of drugs right to stabilise myself. Every taxi driver in Dublin knows me. But on top of that, it takes a year to get to see a neurologist. You know, it can take up to a year to get a proper MRI done. If you get an MRI done, let's say in the VHI clinic or somewhere like that, then HSC hospitals, i.e. the acute hospitals, won't accept it. You have to go through a HSC one. It can take 5 years for surgery. It can take... Video telemetry is a key aspect of testing for epilepsy. Video telemetry is where people are in a bed, they're wired up to EEGs, monitors, all sorts of things, and when they have seizures, they're videoed, obviously, that's matched up with the EEG results, and neurologists can sit down and have a proper look at the situation. In this country, we have two, and that's covering the entire country, and they're in Beaumont, and there is literally a curtain between the two, which means you can't mix the sexes or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, I know one individual who was waiting 21 months to get in, and he was in Peru at the time, so he flew all the way back from Peru to get it so that he wouldn't miss his chance. There isn't a national centre for epilepsy in Ireland. We're the only country in Western Europe, including the Eastern Bloc, or the old Eastern Bloc, that don't have one. So we decided we'd build one. I'm a businessman, Norman's a neurologist, so over a cup of coffee I said, I'll find the land, I'll find the money, we'll get it built, you look after the medical end of it. That was 2007. We put a lot of time and a lot of money into it, architects, legal fees, travel, the whole lot, and then the crash came, which in a way is a blessing. There's always a silver lining, because if we'd bought the land then, we'd probably be in NAMA now anyway, you know. So rather than let the whole thing die, we decided that we had to be able to do something along the way. And there is a huge stigma attached to epilepsy. Both people like myself who have epilepsy, I took 5 or 6 years before I'd even accept I had it. And members of the general public are afraid of it. So the idea was that we would at least do some communal work, some rehabilitation, some life training to improve their quality of life. That was the whole idea. So I just came up with this idea. I talked the landowner into donating the land. And now we're just going to do it as the first one. There's another site that I'm discussing with County Council on the other side near Howth. And we've also got a site in Wicklow. Ooh, I made it to the great bride, and I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
Back in the studio where it's nice and warm, without that cutting icy wind this February. Donegan doesn't know this, but I travel past that field every day during the week, Monday to Friday, on the 102 bus. So I must actually go upstairs and have a good look over the field. travel from Baldoyle through Portmarnock, Malahide, Seabury, and on to Montgomery Way and into Kinsealy. So twice a day, and it's now bright, almost bright, when I'm heading home, I see this site. So I'll be checking it out and seeing what the progress is like. Time for a musical break, and here is an artist that we haven't had on the Sud Show before, to the best of my knowledge. It's Neil Young, and Neil, who is also a sufferer of epilepsy, this is a song from him called Harvest Moon.
Come a little bit closer, hear what I have to say. Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising, let's go dancing in the light. We know where the music's playing, let's go out and feel the night. Because I'm still in love with you, I wanna see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you on this harvest moon. Watched you from afar. When we were lovers, I loved you with all my heart. But now it's getting late and the moon is climbing high. I want to celebrate, see it shining in your eyes. Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you on this harvest moon.
Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, #Sod Show on Twitter, and you can get us at blog.donaghanlandscaping.com. Time to put on the winter woolies and go back outdoors. Here's Peter.
This is pretty prime land. No matter what the state of the economy is, it'll probably be worthwhile flogging it for a few bob. Did you not... I would have had a treble brandy if I was on the path that you were on and somebody had said, over a cup of tea. Sure, just... there you go, for a euro. What can I ask you, what went... this is off tracking from gardening, but what went through your head when he said, yeah, just take my jacket and the field?
What went through my head was, thanks very much, shook hands on it, that was it. I thought it was an idea about allotments. It was just an idea I had. I did not expect to be handed 15 acres of land. So everything came to everything came to, you know, all together, all of a sudden, in 15 minutes. So the idea grew from that, getting it ready in the organisation, that's simple. But when I was given the land, it was great. My colleagues in the Epilepsy Care Foundation, when I rang them, I know this is radio, so I won't use my normal language, said, you know, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You know, I really don't believe you. And I said, well, I said, the lease is with the solicitors now. So, yeah, it's a bit difficult to take. But then this is prime land, but it's also a greenbelt area. Yeah. Back in the Celtic Tiger or the boom days, land over there was going for about 300,000 to 400,000 an acre because people thought they could develop it. And now this is a greenbelt area. Fingal are determined to keep it greenbelt. So from the planning point of view and all that, it was quite simple. And the thing just fell into place. I mean, we only started this process last April.
What's on the allotment side of it and leaning to that, how easy has it been to get people to say, yeah, I'll take one of them? And curiosity killed the cat, how much would it cost Mary McGinnity if she rang up in the morning and said, hi, I'd like to take an allotment? How much does she pay you for per annum, and what does she get for that?
Okay, there are two sizes, 50 square metres and 100 square metres. 50 square metres is 200 per annum, and 100 square metres is 300 per annum. What does she get for that? She will get rotivated land, fenced off, and she'll have the clubhouse, the water will be here, there'll be parking, proper parking here, off-road parking, security, all of that. She gets all of that, plus, because the clubhouse, she gets the community thing, she gets we're in the middle of Malahide, but there are people from Swords, Waterside, Malahide, Port Marnock, Howth, even Dunamead have taken allotments. How easy was it to let them? Phone was hopping, that's why I'm carrying two at the moment, Peter. That's why I'm carrying two phones. I was up.
When did you put them up for sale or put them up for let?
When did I put them up to let? November.
And how many are gone, just to give people a gist?
200.
Say that again?
200. There's 197 before I just left the house there.
And how many are in total available?
225 to the public. I'll show you the books.
That is an absolute credit to you as an individual for the vision that I didn't believe or queried if it existed maybe at the start of walking in this field, and to the team, if there is one that exists behind you, I have to say absolutely well done.
The team are made up of people who, when they heard about the project, have given their time pro bono, including the architect who designed it, put in the planning. We have people in marketing, we have an inspector in the guards, we have there's eight of us, and more people have offered their help. When they hear it's about epilepsy, etc., they're offering their help to run it, etc., so hopefully we won't have any salaries involved in actually managing the place on an ongoing basis. Certainly if we need any work done, there are people there who do it. There's a guy coming in with a tractor who's going to rotivate the whole thing for nothing before the civil engineers move in. And the amount of goodwill has just been phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
For all of the goodwill that's taken place, what's in it for the serious gardener, or how serious a gardening allotment setup is it supposed to be in comparable? I mean, have you taken a look at what's surrounding, or?
We have looked at every allotments that are done. Dunabay, the Knoll, even Ballymun, they have them, looked down in Wicklow. We've looked out towards Ballybohol, places that you would probably know out that way. And we're also conscious that we want this to really look well. It's in Malahide. I'm not saying anything about Malahide, but it's on a main road. It's looking over Malahide Estuary. It can't look like a shanty town. So you provide the right parking. You provide the right fencing. You make it as professional as possible. But, yes, it achieves two things. One is for the people with epilepsy, and two is the community structure of it. Allotments are all community built. They become communities. And there's nothing, you know, the person that wants to come along here and do horticulture. Well, I would hope 90% of them would, because that's why they're taking allotments, to get away from the humdrum of everyday life, listening to about NAMA and more taxes and all the rest. They just want to go on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Wednesday evening to go along and work on their allotment. That's what they want to do. That's what the allotments are here for. That's what it's here for, you know. And it's a way of helping people with intellectual disability at the same time. Somebody wants to come along and do nothing else but their allotment, that's fine. But with 300 allotments, you're going to get a lot of interaction.
I've got a funny feeling that by the time this airs, in 6 days' time, you're going to be sold out of the last 25 available allotment spaces.
I had a guy on the phone to me yesterday who rang up to say that he's a horticultural student, I'm not going to say where, and he rang up and he said, can I book an allotment for next year, 2013? He said, I can't do it this year because I've got to finish my studies, but can I book one for next year? So he's asking to go on a waiting list next year.
Can he wait to go on the waiting list, or can he delay going on the waiting list by a year?
He's on the waiting list. He's on the waiting list because it's like everything else, whether you look at it in business or anything, things get turned over. You know, we'll probably have about 20% of the people here won't renew next year, or 10% or 15% may not renew. Therefore, people that are on a waiting list can move in. So why shouldn't I start creating a waiting list now if somebody wants to go on a waiting list?
If people want to find out more, Brian, how do they go about this?
Well, there's two websites. There's malahideallotments.ie, and there's also epilepsycare.ie, which will tell you a little bit about epilepsy and what we're trying to do. You can also email me at info@malahideallotments.ie, and I'll give out more information. As much as anybody wants to know, I'm prepared to give it, because it's a public thing. This isn't a private venture. Everything that's made from this goes into the charity. You know, I mean, I'll be selling compost here. I'll be selling garden sheds. It keeps the garden sheds looking uniform. Okay, people want to paint them pink and blue and that kind of thing, but they'll be the same type of shed, because it makes the place look good. Also, I know I've got quality on the site. And I make a few bob out of them. And I make a few bob out of the compost. I've done a deal on compost wholesalers. I've done a deal for the sheds. I've done a deal for the fencing. It's all about making a few bob. I've got a discount package for allotment holders here in a local garden centre, and that gives them a bit of business. At the same time, they're sponsoring a number of the disabled, plots for the disabled. I'm looking at businesses here to pay $500 a year just to sponsor a plot for the disabled. And it's not just, we're also going to be holding horticultural classes here, hopefully once every fortnight between April and September. So you come along, pay a fiver on the kitty for sitting into it.
You seem to have got the point where the compost will be the same price, or will be good value, I think, is the other thing as well, as will the sheds and the fencing, etc., etc.
I can't expect to force people to buy things to put on the site. But if I want the place to look good, then I can ask them to do it, or I can say, do it. But what I'll do is, I'll give you the stuff cheaper than B&Q and Woody's and anybody else. Sorry, Woody's. But I can do it. I can.
Business.
I can do that. I've done a deal on it, so I'm buying it in. I'm making a much smaller markup, but the people that are here on the site know they're buying quality. They can see it, and I achieve what I want to do. Instead of people going to B&Q and buying it, and they've got to come down here, they've got to get it erected, and the same anywhere else they buy it. Our price includes putting the stone down, erecting it, and everything, assembling it.
Brian, in short, you received a field
last April 2011.
I'm standing in this field.
It's January the 27th, and people will be in here and the end of the third week and the last week in February.
When will the clubhouse be built?
Now there lies another story. Our capital cost went up considerably because of some of the planning stuff that we had to put in, like petrol interceptors and stuff like that, because we didn't expect to do it because it was permeable roads anyway. That happens. So the clubhouse is now being put back a month or 6 weeks. That was the idea.
But that's 6 weeks. I thought you might have said 6 months. So let's say the clubhouse will be up by April.
Yeah, it will be up by April.
And the first gardening class will take place in there.
April.
And the first,
I have to have,
and the first potatoes will be lifted.
That's depends on the allotment owners. But I have to have, this isn't just a case of putting tough loos all over the place. I've got to have toilets for the disabled.
Yeah.
I've got to have that. Therefore, I need the clubhouse and I need it quick. It's going to cost me 20 grand. But, you know, unless anybody out there is prepared to help us out, and it's all tax deductible, I will have to wait until then. Or what I might do is, an idea that myself and the architect had last night was, let's go and do a deal with Chadwick's or somebody to supply us with the timber, and let's put an appeal out there to everybody who's taken an allotment. Are you an electrician? Are you a plumber? Are you a carpenter? Do you want to come on site and build the allotment? Or build a clubhouse? That gets me, helps me with the VAT as well, because I only pay VAT on the timber, and I get all, the guys are all volunteers. Anybody that wants to help us, it's all volunteers, so it doesn't cost me anything. I don't have to pay any VAT on it.
I'm going to come back here in about 3 months' time. I'm going to make it my business to do so. I'm going to bring Brian Green with me. I will. I'm going to take you up on that offer. I intend to bring Brian Green with me, and it's a bit like the wild camping experience, that part of me wishes that Brian could have seen it, and when he hears that audio, that he wants to go back and kind of half wishes he was there, but then is kind of quite glad that he was inside having mince pies over the Christmas period. I'm going to hope to keep a good eye on this one, but I have a funny feeling things are going to move so much faster than I can actually keep up with it. What can I say? Brian, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity. And you are welcome back, and it will be full and it will be finished. And I'll put you on the waiting list for next year if you want.
You won't get a better offer than that. Folks, for all of this and more, Sideshow and on Twitter and everything else up on blog.donneganlandscaping.com. I'm going to get into the car, go and have a cup of coffee. It's cold. My hands are cold. Bye for now.
You can get a podcast of today's show on Audioboo and iTunes. Sideshow returns next Friday at 3 p.m.